Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. We continue the discussion of as-sunan ar-rawatib and the rulings and ahkam that are related to these particular non-obligatory prayers. And we have been reading from the narration that the author he mentioned of Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma. And in this narration, he mentioned 10 raka'at that he prayed along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he would follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and watch him. He would follow him sallallahu alayhi wasallam and watch him closely. And follow him precisely. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa radiyallahu an ibn Umar. Wa an as-sahabati ajma'in. So he would be great. He would be very diligent to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to watch how he would move and watch how he would worship and watch how he would act and conduct himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even to the extent that during the times he was not able to follow him, or he was not able to be with him or see him directly, Abdullah bin Umar, he would at this time ask some of his relatives who were close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from them his sister Hafsa bint Umar radiyallahu anhuma. And this was a wife from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would ask her radiyallahu anha how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worship Allah, and his conduct whenever he was in the home during the hours he was not able to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. And all of this indicates the diligence of Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma specifically, and of the companions in general, their diligence to strive to gain an understanding in the deen, and their diligence to learn the hadi and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to comply to that and to apply that and to live by way of that. Radiyallahu an as-sahabati ajma'in. So we have seen that the sunan, as-sunan ar-rawatib, they are 10 rak'ah in the hadith of Ibn Umar. But it has come likewise in the hadith of Habiba radiyallahu anha that they are 12. And in the hadith of Habiba radiyallahu anha that there is an encouragement to pray those 12 every single day and night. And the one who maintains those 12 rak'ah that are not obligatory from the sunan ar-rawatib, then he will have a house built for him in paradise. He will have a house built for him in paradise. So we see with regards to the 10, this is the least number of a sunan ar-rawatib, and the most is 12. And the most virtuous is 12. And the ulama, they mentioned that sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed 10, and other times, or rather the majority of the times, he would pray 12 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah knows best. In the hadith of Ibn Umar, that's 2 before dhuhr and 2 after dhuhr. 2 before dhuhr, meaning after the adhan of dhuhr has entered. The sunan ar-rawatib that are considered qabaliyyah, that come before the obligatory prayer, their time begins at the entrance of the time of that prayer. For example, al-dhuhr, it has as-sunnah al-qabaliyyah. As-sunnah al-qabaliyyah, it has a sunnah that is prayed before it. And this means before the obligatory prayer, but after the time of the prayer has come in. And likewise, fajr as well, it has a sunnah qabaliyyah. Sunnatul qabaliyyah. And that must be prayed after the adhan of fajr has been made, or meaning after the fajr has entered, the time of fajr has come, and then before the establishment of the obligatory prayer. This is the time for the ratiba that comes before the salat. So dhuhr, it has one before it, 2 rak'ah before it, and 2 after. And likewise, the 2 that come after it, they should be prayed inside the time of that prayer likewise, and not delayed until that time goes out. They're coupled with the prayer, and it's best to pray it any after the prayer directly. Of course, after making the adhkar and the likes that are legislated, after that, then a believer will stand and finish the obligatory prayer by completing these non-obligatory salawat. And this is considered a sunnah al-ba'diyah. So there's al-qabaliyah wal-ba'diyah. In any case, both of them are performed in the time of that particular prayer. one before the obligatory and one after it. We have seen the benefits from this as well. So there are two before Dhuhr and two after Dhuhr. There's two before Dhuhr and two after Dhuhr. And there's two after Al-Maghrib and two after Al-Isha and two before Al-Fajr and two before Fajr. This is As-Sunan Al-Rawatib. And these are Ashr Raka'at, 10 Raka'at. And this has been narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. But with regards to the hadith of Habiba, whenever there's a mention of 12 and the house being built in Jannah for that person who maintains them and preserves them and prays them consistently and consecutively, then this is with regards to Dhuhr. Instead of two before, there's four. And likewise, it is narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha. And we have seen all these narrations, alhamdulillah, in the previous class. That the Prophet, he never left, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, four before Dhuhr and two before Fajr. So therefore, to pray the 12 daily, which is better and more complete and more virtuous, that will be four before Dhuhr and two after Dhuhr, and two after Al-Maghrib and two after Al-Isha, and two before Al-Fajr and two before Fajr. And this is the 12 rak'ah that is mentioned in the hadith of Habiba. من صلى ثنتي عشرة في يوم وليلة بني له بيت في الجنة بني له بيت في الجنة. And the one word بني له بهن بيت في الجنة, that a house will be built by for him by way of these rak'at in Jannah for him. Likewise here in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, he says وركعتين بعد الجمعة وركعتين بعد الجمعة. So likewise al-Jumu'ah has الراتبة also on the day of Jumu'ah, for those who attend the obligatory prayer and congregation of Jumu'ah, instead of praying Dhuhr has الراتبة before and after. But as for Al-Jumu'ah, it only has الراتبة البعدية. الراتبة البعدية. There is no راتبة before Al-Jumu'ah. There is no راتبة before Al-Jumu'ah. And we have to pay attention to the wording and the terminology that the ulama they use and they refer to. And when we say al-ratiba, this means any from a sunan al-rawatib, those sunan that are prayed daily and they are prayed consistently and they are prayed constantly and they are not left. Any al-rawatib, any thawabit. Naam al-ratiba al-thabit al-mustaqirra da'ima. So from these al-rawatib that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not leave, that are coupled with the obligatory prayers. Also on the day of Jumu'ah, after the Salat of Jumu'ah, after Jumu'ah. So Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, he says, وَرَكَعْتَيْنِ بَعْدَ الْجُمُعَةِ, and two rak'ah also after al-Jumu'ah. And then likewise, he mentioned as well, fi baytihi, that he used to pray those two rak'ah after al-Jumu'ah in his house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, it has been collected by al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِذَا صَلَّيْتُمْ بَعْدَ الْجُمُعَةِ فَصَلُّوا أَرْبَعًا, that if you pray after al-Jumu'ah, then you should pray four, meaning four rak'ah, أربع rak'at, فَصَلُّوا أَرْبَعًا, أي أربع rak'at. If you're going to pray after Jumu'ah, then you should pray four. So we see that this is the encouragement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to pray four rak'ah or arba rak'at after al-Jumu'ah, after Jumu'ah. But we see likewise in the wording of, or in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he seen the Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wasallam praying two after al-Jumu'ah. So we have here likewise from the sunnah of al-Jumu'ah is that one will pray the ratiba after Jumu'ah, and the least amount is rak'atani, two rak'ah, and the most would be arba'ah or arba'u rak'at. The most would be arba'u rak'at, four rak'ah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he himself prayed two, and likewise he encouraged the praying of four, and as well is also collected by al-Imam Muslim, and as well from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من كان منكم مصليا بعد الجمعة فليصلي أربعة, that whoever from amongst you is going to pray after al-Jumu'ah, then let him pray four. So we see that it has been encouraged from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his speech. It is encouraged and recommended to pray after Jumu'ah four rak'ah. And one will pray two and two. He will pray two and make taslim, and pray two more and make taslim. And likewise, we see from the other narration here in Umdat al-Ahkam that is mentioned by Abdul Ghani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the author, Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed two in his home. So therefore, one could either pray two rak'ah after Jumu'ah as a sunnah, ratiba, or pray four. And the ulama, they mention that four is better. That four is better. And some of the ulama, they mentioned that if one were to pray in the masjid, he'll pray four. And if one were to pray in his house, he would pray two. And they had gathered between these narrations. And other ulama, they mentioned that rather one will pray accordingly, that sometimes one will pray four, and other times one will pray two, whether it's in the masjid or in the home. And even it has come in some of the wordings of this narration in Sahih Muslim, that some of the salaf, and from the narrators of this hadith, they would say that if you are in a hurry, you pray two in the masjid and two when you get home. So then the total is four. Somebody who is in a hurry, he's not able to stay long, then he pray two after the Jumu'ah immediately, and he in the masjid. And then after that, whenever he gets home, he prays two more, completing the four. In any case, we see that it is recommended to pray four and encouraged by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the least one could pray is two. This is with regards to Ratiba al-Jumu'ah al-Ba'diyah. Ratibatul Jumu'ah al-Ba'diyah. That is the Ratiba that comes after al-Jumu'ah. As for al-Qabaliyah li-Salat al-Jumu'ah, the Ratiba that comes before Salat al-Jumu'ah, then this is not established. And the ulama, they have mentioned that there is no specific number or a ratiba that is prescribed or legislated for Jumu'ah before the Salat. Rather, what is legislated and recommended, and it's not the ratiba, it's not from the status of the sunn al-rawatib, but it is from the nawafil, and it is recommended, yani mustahab, that a believer, whenever he comes to the masjid on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, that he will enter and he will pray two rak'ah, of course, of tahiyyat al-masjid. And after that, he will continue to pray as he likes. As much as he likes, two and two and two. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in authentic narration likewise by Abdullah ibn Umar, Salatul Layli wa Nahar, Mathna Mathna. Salatul Layli wa Nahar, Mathna Mathna. That the prayer of the night and the daytime, yani the non obligatory prayer, is two and two. Yani Mathna Mathna, yani rakataini rakatain. Yani rakataini bi التسليم, rakataini bi التسليم. So one will pray two rak'ah and make taslim and finish, and then start and pray two more. And he will continue like this all the way until the imam comes. He could pray two, or he could come and pray two, tahiyyat al-masjid, and that's it. As he likes, or he could pray four, or he could pray six, or he could pray eight. He can continue praying as many rak'ah in this manner as he likes until the imam, he comes in. And this likewise is established in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, also collected by al-imam Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ اغْتَصَلَ ثُمَّ أَتَى الْجُمُعَةَ فَصَلَّى ما قدر له ثم انصت حتى يفرغ الامام من خطبته ثم يصلي معه غفر له ما بينه وبين الجمعه الاخرى وفضل ثلاثه ايام. That whoever makes al-iktisal, whoever makes a ghusl, and then he goes to the jumu'ah, and then he prays that which is decreed for him, and this is the shahid for the masala that we are studying. فَصَلَّى مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ. Whenever he came to the masjid, what did he pray? He prayed that which was what was decreed for him, meaning as much as he liked, and this would be how much that Allah had decreed after he's done. If he had prayed two, it's decreed for him too. If he prayed four or six or eight like this, in this manner, it's legislated for a believer to come to the Jumu'ah and to busy himself with salah. To busy himself with salah. Rakatayn, rakatayn. Until the imam comes. Until the imam, he comes. And this is a sunnah, and this is recommended, and this is encouraged, but this is not from ar-rawatib. It's not from ar-rawatib. It's not from الرواتب. And then if he is quiet and he listens to the imam until he's finished with his khutbah, and then he prays along with him, then his sins will be given forgiven for him. The sins that occur between that Jumu'ah and the next Jumu'ah, even for up to three more days, his sins will be forgiven. So the point of the issue here is that Jumu'ah, Salatul Jumu'ah, it has a ratiba. It has a ratiba, and that is after al-Jumu'ah. And it is either two raka or four raka. One would pray two raka, or he would pray four, two and two, in this manner. In this manner. It can be prayed in the masjid or in the home. If somebody is not going home, of course he will pray them in the masjid. As for before Jumu'ah, then there is no ratiba. But rather, what is legislated for a believer to do is to come to the masjid and to pray the tahiyyat al-masjid. And then after that, he is allowed and encouraged to pray as many rak'ah as he can pray until the imam comes and establishes the khutbah. So we see that the sunnah for the one who comes to Jumu'ah is as mentioned. As for the one who does not pray the Jumu'ah, then he will establish the dhuhr in its place. And this is for the one who attends the Jumu'ah. As for the one on Yawm al-Jumu'ah who doesn't attend the Salat in congregation and prays at their home, then they will pray the Salat at dhuhr. And they will pray dhuhr in its manner. And if they were to pray on Yawm al-Jumu'ah and not attend the Jumu'ah prayer, then they would pray dhuhr in the same manner that they normally pray dhuhr, and they will pray the rawatib of dhuhr in the same manner that they normally pray dhuhr on every other day. So this is specific for the one who comes to the Jumu'ah and he attends the congregational prayer of Jumu'ah, that his sunnah and the ratiba will be in this manner. As for the one on Yawm al-Jumu'ah who did not attend the congregation, for example, from the sisters or from the children or from the youth or have excuses and the likes like this, then it is allowed for them, those who is allowed for them to miss the Jumu'ah. If they miss the Jumu'ah, they pray the dhuhr at home and they pray the rawatib normally, four before and two after, four before and two after, or if they wanted, two before and two after. But as we have seen previously, what is most virtuous and more recommended is to pray four before dhuhr and two after. Likewise, with regards to a sunan al-rawatib, there are more issues that we will discuss and seeking understanding and clarification in the deen, and to be upon insight with regards to the rulings and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon clarity with regards to these affairs with evidence and proof. And this is from the grace and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon a believer, that he will learn the deen and he will learn the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with evidences from the Quran and with evidences from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the gatherings of knowledge, they are from the best of the dhikr, And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged to attend the gatherings of dhikr and remembrance. And he told his companions, إِذَا مَرَوْتُمْ بِرِيَاضَ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا, that if you pass by the gardens of paradise, then partake and enjoy therein. And they said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ, and what are the gardens of paradise? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, حِلَقُ الذِّكْر, the gatherings of knowledge. So we gather to study these narrations of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to gain knowledge and to gain understanding and insight in the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can draw near to Allah and worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that He has prescribed, in a manner that He is pleasing, hoping that He will accept our efforts and hoping that He will be pleased with our actions. And He is Ash-Shakur subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who strive in His path and strive in His pleasure, then truly He will guide them. So also from these rulings with regards to As-Sunan Ar-Rawatib, there's the issue of Al-Qadha. Qadha Ar-Rawatib, making up the Rawatib. If somebody were to be accustomed daily to pray them, daily, he is from his manners and from his way, and Allah blessed him that he has established hadhihi as-sunan, al-rawatib, and in his life daily. But something occurred one day and he became preoccupied, or he forgot, or something happened and he was not able to perform them on time. Is it allowed for him to make them up? Is it allowed for him to make them up? Is it legislated for him to make them up? This is the issue that we discuss now. It has been narrated from Qais ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ra'a rajulan yusalli ba'da salati subhi rakatayn. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a man praying two rak'ah after the Fajr prayer. فَقَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to him, صَلَاتُ السُّبْحِ رَكَتَانِ, that the morning prayer is only two rak'ah. فَقَالَ الرَّجُلُ, so the man, he says now, إِنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ صَلَّيْتُ الرَّكَتَيْنِ أَلَّتَيْنِ قَبْلَهُمَا فَصَلَّيْتُهُمَا الْآنِ. He said, verily, I did not pray the two rak'ah that is before the two of Fajr, and I am praying them now. فَسَكَتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the Prophet, he was silent about that. Here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's seen this happening, and this occurred in his presence, and he did not reprimand the person doing it. He did not forbid him from doing it. Rather, he was silent about that. And this is called al-iqrar. And he affirmed that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa taqrir, sunnah al-taqririyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's seen this occur, and he heard the man's excuse, and he allowed him, and he affirmed him upon that. So this is a clear evidence that it is allowed to make up the sunnah of Fajr after the Fajr prayer. And here in this issue, this is before the rising of the sun. This is before the shuruq. So this is clear evidence that this is permissible, and this hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawood and authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala. And likewise, it is narrated from Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man lam yusalli rak'atay al-fajr falyusallihima ba'da ma tatlu'u ash-shams. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever did not pray the two sunnah of fajr, then let him pray them after the sun rises. And this is collected by al-Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala, and likewise authenticated by Sheikh al-Albani rahmatullahi alayhi. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the first narration, he seen a man praying the two sunnah, making them up after the obligatory prayer of Fajr, because he did not pray them before. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed him upon that, and he allowed that. And then in the next narration, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that whoever did not pray them, yani before the Fajr prayer, then let him pray them after the rising of the sun. So therefore, it is allowed in both situations. Either a believer, he has the opportunity, if he is from those people who normally pray the sunnah of Fajr, then it is allowed for him to pray it after the Fajr prayer immediately. And after he makes the adhkar of the after the obligatory prayer of Fajr, then he will stand and he will make up the two sunnah that he was not able to make before the obligatory prayer. Or if he likes, he can wait until after a shuruq and after the sun has risen, until the time of duha has entered, and he can pray two rak'ah, making up those two sunnah that he missed. Likewise, it has been narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا لم يصلي أربعا قبل الظهر صلاهن بعدها. That was what has preceded was with regards to al-Fajr. Here we have the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to, if he was not able to pray four rak'ah before dhuhr, then he would pray them after dhuhr. And this is also collected by at-Tirmidhi and authenticated by Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. So if he was not able to pray them before dhuhr, then he will pray them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after dhuhr. Therefore, for the one who prays, he missed the four before dhuhr and he prays them after dhuhr, he will pray the two that he that are after dhuhr, and then he will pray the four that he's making up, because the two after dhuhr, they come connected to the prayer. And then he will make up those after that, and Allah knows best. And this is from the fatwa of Sheikh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned similar like this with regards to making up the prayer that's before, after the prayer before dhuhr, after dhuhr. because the Sunnah al-Ba'diyah, it's attached directly to the Sunnah. It comes right after, it's attached directly to the Fariḍa, the obligatory prayer. It comes after it. So then one will pray that, and then after that one will make up the two that had that he missed, and Allah knows best. Likewise, it has been narrated by Salama radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she saw him praying two rak'ah after Asr, and she also was aware that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had prohibited praying after Asr. So she asked about this issue, and he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ya bint Abi Umayyah sa'alti 'an ar-rak'atayn ba'd al-'asr وَإِنَّهُ أَتَانِي نَاسٌ مِّنْ عَبْدِ الْقَيْسِ فَشَغَلُونِي عَنِ الرَّكْعَتَيْنِ اللَّتَيْنِ بَعْدَ الظُّهْرِ فَهُمَا هَاتَانِ. The hadith is متفقون عليه. He said to her, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, يا بنت أبي أمية. And this is her name. Her name is Hind. بنت أبي أمية رضي الله عنها سلمة. المؤمنين. So he says, ya bint Abi Umayyah, you asked about the two rak'ah after Asr. He said, verily, some people came to me from the delegation of Abdul Qais, and they preoccupied me from praying the two rak'ah after Dhuhr. So these two that you saw me praying are those two. And if these two you saw me praying after Asr are those two that I was not able to pray after Dhuhr. So therefore we see that likewise from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to make up these, to make up the Sunnah al-Rawatib if somebody missed them. If somebody missed them and it was out of his hands, and it was a situation where he became preoccupied, or a situation where he did not catch them in time, and he was not able to perform them in time, then it's allowed for him to make them up, whether it's the Sunnah to make them up. And likewise, this is an indication of the fact that these are Sunnatun Mu'akkidah. Sunnatul Mu'akkidah, that if they passed the Prophet sallallahu, or if he missed them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not just let them go. Rather, he made them up. Rather, these raka'at, as sunan al-rawatib, he made them up sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to emphasize again the importance of these sunan. So far, we see that the author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. But in one of the wordings, he is narrating from his sister, Hafsa. And Hafsa, she is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of his wives, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also in this discussion, with regards to Sunnah al-Rawatib, we have also seen the hadith of Habiba. And this is Ramla bint Abi Sufyan radiallahu anha. She is also the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then also with regards to the clarification of the ahkam al-shar'iyya that are related to a sunnah al-rawatib, we also see the more than one hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha bint Abi Bakr, as-siddiqa bint as-siddiqa radiallahu anha wa abiha wa sa'ir as-sahaba. And likewise, now we see another narration with regards to the sunnah al-rawatib. This one is from Salama. This one is from Salama. Namhint bint Abi Umayyah radiallahu anha. So here we have, with regards to a sunnah al-rawatib, we want to pay attention here and benefit from this fa'idah. We have, just with regards to a sunnah al-rawatib, these rulings that are derived, that we see, that have been narrated to us and transmitted to us from the way of the messenger, from his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with regards to this issue, four of his wives have narrated. So far we have read different narrations clarifying these rulings from four of different wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the ulama, they have mentioned a beautiful benefit and a great fa'idah for a believer to be aware of and to understand. Because many of the enemies of al-Islam, they try to put doubts in the minds of the believers, and they try to find fault with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and speak ill of him. And the fact that whenever he died, he had nine wives sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But from the benefit of that is that there are more people that are related to him, and there are more people that have contact with him, and there are more people that learn from him, and there are more people that see how he lived his life, and they transmit and narrate his sunnah to the ummah. We see that Abdullah ibn Umar, he strove and he would strive and strive and strive to learn and to follow and to imitate and to take as a role model and an example. But there are certain times he's not able to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has a private life and he has a private situation. Who knows about that private life and situation? His wives. But the fact that one of his wives was Abdullah ibn Umar's sister, he was allowed to find out about his life. He was allowed to find out about what happens in his home before Fajr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and narrate that to the ummah. And likewise, the different wives here, they're narrating different events and occurrences that occurred in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is just as Allah had mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, whenever Allah is addressing directly the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, directing directly his wives, radiyallahu anhunna, and he said to them, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. And remember, O you members of the Prophet's family, the graces of your Lord, that which is recited in your homes of the verses of Allah and the hikmah, meaning the Prophet's sunnah, legal ways. So give your thanks and glorify his praises for this Quran and the sunnah. Verily, Allah is ever most courteous, well acquainted with all things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had commanded those believing women, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to remain in their homes. And he mentioned the issues with regards to them. And then he closed like this, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. And remember that which is recited in your homes, مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ, from the verses of Allah, the Quran, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, meaning it from the Sunnah. And to remember that, to memorize that, and to learn that, and to recite that, and to read that, and to ponder upon that, to understand that, and to comply to that, to live upon that, and to apply that, and to spread that. So therefore, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had many wives, this is a benefit for the ummah, and for the fact that this is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that his sunnah would be established, and his sunnah would be known, and his sunnah would be transmitted to the ummah in detail, because of the great number of people that would have contact with him in all different situations. And this is a fa'ida that is very, very beneficial. Fa'ida nafisa. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.